Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, I'm Grant Wall. Welcome to the Planet Football Podcast. This week's interview guest is Giovanni Savarese, the coach of the Portland Timbers. Quick reminder, if you like the podcast, it would really help us if you go to Apple Podcasts and provide a rating and a review. And we'd appreciate you recommending the podcast to someone you know. Onward! Our guest today is Giovanni Savarese, the head coach of the Portland Timbers. Gio, thanks for coming on the show.
No, my pleasure, Grant. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. You just finished your second season with the Timbers, took them to the MLS Cup final in your first season in 2018, in 2019. Kind of a crazy season because you're on the road for so long to start while you were getting your stadium redone. Ended up finishing sixth in the West, went out to Salt Lake in the first round of the playoffs. When you look at 2019 and the 2019 season, how did you feel about the Timbers' performance?
Yes, interesting question. First of all, the first target for any Major League Soccer team is to make the playoff. Of course, it's not only about making the playoff, but you want to be able to arrive there in the best possible situation, as high as you can. And that's, you know, what I think every team hopes for is tries to do. We were, you know, for us, making the playoff was important, but that's not, you know, the end goal for us. You know, we always want to compete all the way to the end, as we did in 2018. We wanted to go all the way to the final. But this year was definitely a very strange year, particular year. I mean, you mentioned the fact of so many games on the road. Yes, we did have the same, you know, situation in 2018. It was about five games away from home. But playing 12 is a different story. And then when you play at home consecutive matches, you know, the expectation of winning is there. And there's all the factors that, you know, come in that I think made it a very weird season. Then we had to deal with some internal situations that I feel maybe at some points took us away from the main focus of what we needed to do. But overall, I think, you know, looking at it, definitely for the things that we had to encounter, I'm very proud of the work that the guys did, and especially the way we finished playing against San Jose, qualifying to the playoff, and unfortunately we couldn't get the job done against Real Salt Lake on a game that was strange, a playoff game in which we didn't appear the first half. And the second half, we did everything to be able to qualify. And unfortunately, I think that game summarized a little bit our season, and now we're preparing for next year.
Yeah, I want to ask about, from a news perspective, there's just a big question out there right now about Diego Valeri. And it was a strange finish to the season because it appeared that there was some stuff going on back and forth between Valeri and his representation and the team. And this player has obviously been very important to the Portland Timbers over the years. What are the chances that Diego Valeri will be with Portland in 2020?
I think might be able to receive some very good news by the end of this week. So I think things are, you know, I think on the works still. They have been on the works. It hasn't been something that that has happened, you know, that has been or needed to be done very quickly, because there's a lot of factors to it. But I think everything is progressing in a positive way. And then, as I said, maybe we might have some good news at the end of this week. I think the intention always from the club is to make sure that a player that has done so much for this organization is able to retire in the club that he's given so much for. And I think is, you know, is the hope of all of us to make sure that we can see, you know, a future still with Diego being part of the organization. So everybody's putting their effort to make sure that, you know, that this can be done. And I think the only way that it could have been able to get done is that every part of, you know, the situation is in tune and willing to make this work.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously promising news if something could happen with the signing, maybe even later this week with Diego Valeri. How much work has there been needed to do any repairing of the relationship between him and the team?
Yeah, I think during the season, there's been moments in which we were very far apart. I mean, club, I'm talking no particular coach and player. But you know, club and the mindset of maybe the player and definitely has had up and down moments during the season in regards to how everything was going to end up. But I think the good thing is that here we put first of all the values of what we stand for as a club. I think also important that the player needed to understand certain things and look also that he had to make some decisions, and even though there were ups and downs, I think towards the end, once we finished the season, I think things have been, as I said, working in a very positive way for everybody to be able to start coming on the same ground and make this very very per se you know, right. And I think is what the club stands for, is what we want to be as a club, is the kind of culture that we want to have. And even though, as I said, there was moments of up and downs, especially, I would say, at the beginning of the season and especially at the end of the season, you know, we are in a good situation and everybody's very positive about the situation.
One other player who is outgoing, has left the team, is Brian Fernandez. He's a designated player for you. He had his contract terminated after he had been in the league substance abuse program. What happened there, and how do you plan to replace him?
This is a complicated question because there's so much into it. I mean, a very talented player, a player that was no doubt that when he arrived, impacted in a very positive way the team and the performance, and individually what he was able to bring right away, it was incredible. It was exactly what we needed in order for us to make a jump of quality. But unfortunately, things went the other way, and then it became a difficult situation to manage, a distraction for the group. And this also, you know, as I said, you know, as a club, we also care very much about the human side, you know, the personal side of players, and making sure that they're okay, the well-being of the players, you know, that they are not only just a number of a player, but also an individual that we care about. And that part became a little bit difficult. I would say not a little, very difficult.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it ended in a way that no one wanted to see ended. But right now, what we hope is, you know, for the best of the player, that he can find a good path, that he can do well, because there's no question that he's a very talented player.
In terms of replacing him, are you guys looking to make any designated player signings this offseason?
Definitely, we will make the team better. We will change. We already brought in Suparic.
Mm-hmm.
We're making some changes. Definitely, we will add a piece into that area that position for us is going to be very important. So there will not be surprise in regards, to the fact that we're definitely going to bring someone there, and not only in that position, but we're looking also in other positions as well, just to make sure that we're stronger for next year, that we balance the team in the way we feel that we need to for the next year, especially for the first time for me as a coach in MLS, having a a balanced schedule, and so we want to start as strong as we can be from day one. So everyone in the organization is working hard to make sure that we bring the right people, the right players, in the right positions that we feel we need to improve. And that's something that we're doing currently every day. We have some very good options. We're excited about the options that we have. So hopefully we can get those things done, sooner than later.
Are there any particular positions aside from center forward that you're looking to find that balance a little bit more?
Definitely. I would say besides the goalkeeping, position, I think every line we're still looking for reinforcement. We still want to be stronger in defense. I think, with the departure of Valentin Zarek, now we need another player there to replace that position. Unfortunately, with the rules of MLS, sometimes it happens that you lose good people, good players, and now we have to work to replace that position. Also, in the middle and on top, we will bring all the players as well to make sure that we are stronger for next year.
During the season, I'm curious, how much time do you spend with Gavin Wilkinson, the GM, and Merritt Paulson, the very active owner of your team, and how did those roles work within the team, the three of you?
Yes, no, we have a great interaction. We meet once a week. That's a constant. We have our lunch, the three of us, in which we catch up with everything. We get to talk about all the scenarios, things that we're working on, situations on the team. So we very much inform all of us in every area from top to bottom. And these lunches are very positive. Sometimes they go a little bit more heated. Sometimes they are a little bit more, but they always very positive because at the end of the day, it's just how the three of us can always think how to make the team a better team. The involvement of Merritt is great. Gavin has been doing this for many years, and for me, being able to sit down and share the how we're doing with the team, how we can improve, what we're looking to do, is always very positive. But that doesn't stay only there. I think the communication is constant. We always communicating over the phone or seeing each other, and it's not a surprise sometimes to see Merritt showing up in a practice or coming in into the facility and seeing the players. So the connection and the communication is very proactive, very positive in the club.
Okay, interesting.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I have always associated you with New York, where you played for the Metro Stars and coached the Cosmos. How would you compare the soccer culture of New York to the soccer culture of Portland?
Yes, that's a very interesting question, very good question, because, of course, I've been very fortunate that since the moment that I arrived in the United States, of course, my decision to go to Long Island University in Brooklyn, I've been in New York, being drafted to the Metro Star, being part of the Rough Riders, and then being able to continue to work with Red Bulls, Cosmos. So it's been like my whole life has always been able to find a way to stay in New York. So I'm very, very much a New Yorker. Mm-hmm. But I have found a city in Portland that has an unbelievable culture for sports, mm-hmm. That has a passion for soccer. Very, very interesting in a very European, South American type of way, in which there's a real passion feeling of what we represent as a club, as a city. And for me, it's been great because you know, I need to be in this type of you know, environments. You know, and day one when I arrived there and I saw the stadium and I saw the fans, right away I felt that there was a perfect, you know, situation for me as a coach. And I'm glad to be in Soccer City, and especially, you know, in a very good area in the United States in which there's so much passion. Seattle, you know, Vancouver, mm-hmm. All that area, I think is an area in which the fans are really connected with their clubs. So they're very passionate about soccer. And it's not that it's only one type of, you know, the people. It's very diverse. The fans that go to the stadium and make it, you know, a great place to be able to participate. So very, very, you know, proud to have been able to now be, you know, the coach of the Portland Timbers for sure.
I remember the first year of MLS in 1996, and you were a huge fan favorite with the Metro Stars, scored a lot of goals, including the first goal in club history. Are there any things that stand out to you when you think about your first season in MLS and what that experience was like?
Oof, that was amazing at a time, knowing as a, you know, as a passionate soccer player, somebody that wanted to continue to play, that at that time just finished one of, you know, my best season in the USISL, knowing that MLS was starting. You know, I remember all of us going to, you know, California and going to that first combine in which everybody had to go there, and coaches were there, college coaches were coaching us. The first draft in Manhattan, remember, you know, waiting, everybody, all of us, you know, where am I going to go? Where am I going to be selected? Hopefully I can be part of it. And especially for me, it was a little more difficult because I was considered a foreigner. So mm-hmm. there were only four spots that you could take in a roster, so it was a little bit more difficult. So then when I got selected with the Metro Stars and being able to stay in New York and being able to, you know, play with players that I grew up watching, like Roberto Donadoni, being able to play with teammates like Tony Meola and great players like Tab Ramos, mm-hmm. for me was exciting, and especially was the beginning of something that we all hope that could continue to grow. You know, we were not only happy to be part of a league that it was a professional league, we were invested in the hope that this league could become something a lot bigger. And looking back right now in where we, you know, started and where we are right now in Major League Soccer is incredible. You know, big credit to everyone that has made this league be an unbelievable league, and still I believe that it's going to continue to grow, you know, a lot more in the future.
Yeah, I mean, MLS is about to start its 25th season, and obviously you were involved in the first. How different is MLS today than it was in that first season in 96? What specifically is different?
I think a few things are definitely different. I think others are not, which, you know, sometimes some of the newcomers, per se, in Major League Soccer, they don't remember that we used to have huge crowds as well. I mean, mm-hmm. you would go to New England. I remember Metro Stars. We had 30,000 average in the stadium, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, the excitement. I remember that probably all those that didn't get enough of the World Cup in '94, they still had hunger, you know, to see games, and they came. They used to be part of it. So it was incredible. You would go to different stadiums, and it was very competitive. What I really believe is that we have made huge steps in the technical side, in the product, in the type of soccer that is being played. Mm-hmm. I think you know, we did have great players back then that were unique, and I think if those players would have been also part of MLS right now, they definitely make the league better. But I do believe that some players, you know, there was a difference between some of the youngsters that were coming from the United States. I think they still needed more experience. And now I see a league that is that has more depth, that has more quality, that definitely there's been more effort to improve the product on the field. I think GAM, TAM, you know, all these initiatives, mm-hmm. you know, the DPs, all these have allowed MLS to grow more. And the more you invest into it, the better quality you will find. Now you have scouts. Now you have people working in different areas in organization. Now you have, you know, just a bigger organization that, you know, that is always looking to make the club better. So I think from that standpoint, we have improved a lot more, and I think we're still going to continue to grow.
You won 3 NASL titles coaching the New York Cosmos. How did that experience influence who you've become as a coach today?
I'm a firm believer that when you do all the steps to arrive somewhere and you continue to, you know, follow that, there's a lot more that you get from. And I was very fortunate to retire a little bit earlier from playing, understand that it was a possibility for me to start a new career, a new direction. When I got offered the job with the Red Bulls as a director of youth development and a sporting director, which at the time had a different position or title in the things that you needed to do, but you know, being able to be with the youth and start coaching, staying there for a few years with the development academy and mm-hmm. being with the Cosmos in the youth, being able to coach in PDL, and then when they asked me to become the head coach of the Cosmos for the NASL, I felt that I was making the right steps, you know, with patience, arriving in different, you know, situations in my career as a coach. And then that period of time with the Cosmos was very positive. I did not only the coaching part, but also the selection of players, the management of the budget, and making sure that we were able to be a stronger team. And not as many people mentioned, we did not have always the best budget in NASL. There were other teams that, you know, they spent sometimes a little bit more than we did, but we did have a good, you know, support from the ownership. Mm-hmm. And then we were able to bring some great players, and we tried to do some good things to challenge soccer, to make soccer better, and to try to make sure in the U.S. Open Cup, in the way we competed, in the players that we brought in, that we brought something interesting to the United States, soccer-wise. And being able to, in my 5 years as a coach in the Cosmos, being able to arrive 4 times to the final, 1 time to the semifinal, win 3 championships, it means that we did the right thing, not only me as a coach, but also, most of all, the players that we brought in, they understood what we represented, and it was a very positive, you know, experience for me that then allowed me to be able to make the next jump and now be part of the Portland Timbers.
Back in your playing days, Gio, you obviously played for the Venezuelan national team. The Copa America draw was this week. What is your sense of where the Venezuelan national team is these days?
I tell you that this group right now, this group, if of course, you know, in soccer sometimes the ball has to bounce your way, but I think we have a strong of a group that can go all the way and be able to compete with anybody in South America. Yes, of course, you have a Brazil that right now is being on fire for many years. I mean, maybe I think it's the first time that they lost recently against Argentina mm-hmm. after so many matches. Argentina now is picking it up. It's becoming better. Uruguay is always tough. I mean, when you're in South America, it's one stronger than the other. Maybe some have gone a little bit down, like Bolivia and Ecuador in what they used to be. But Venezuela right now is a team that is respected. It's a team that definitely can go all the way, and it wouldn't be a surprise if we are able to win the championship. Of course, we understand that it's not an easy situation, but we have a very good group that I think can accomplish that, because first of all, we have the quality. Second, we have a lot of experience now with some of the players that are playing in big leagues, that they have been playing for many years overseas, and they have been competing in very difficult scenarios, so they understand the importance of being able to, you know, manage a game. And looking back to my days in which, you know, I started in 88, my first match with the national team, and I finished in 2001, I wish I could have been playing at this time, because right now, definitely, we're in a different scenario. And definitely, you know, very proud of how much we have grown individually as players, the way we develop the players, and also our national team as well, our Vino Tinto.
It is clear that in Venezuela right now, times are very hard for the people who live in that country. Do you still have family there? How are they doing? Have you had a chance to visit Venezuela in recent years?
Yes, I have been there about 3 years ago, and definitely it's not the same country that I grew up with. I definitely, it was a weird sensation being there and not feeling the way I always felt, as secure as you know, as when I grew up in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. For us, our youth was incredible. Venezuela was a prosper, amazing country with so many great resources and people, and the location of Venezuela, you know, allow us to be able to travel and see the world. So it was definitely a place that you never expected that could ever arrive to the conditions, you know, that that we are today. So it's very difficult to see it. It's impressive how a country so rich has been able to be completely, you know, taken over and destroyed. And I'm just, you know, feel very bad for my country, for my friends, for my family that are still there. Mm-hmm. Now less, because my mother now is in Italy. Mm-hmm. But I still have brothers, uncles. Unfortunately, my father passed away this year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's unfortunate, you know, they're still, they have to battle constantly. But the good thing is that, you know, sometimes with crisis and difficulty, there's some positive things that come out of it, because people now appreciate our country a lot more. Maybe in the past, the people in Venezuela didn't understand exactly all the things that we had and the privileges that we had. Now we see players on the sporting side, you know, that now understand that living and doing well can be very productive and positive to their families. So there's a more work rate to try to develop and grow and become a soccer player in order for them to be able to have a better life. All of us are always thinking, how can we make Venezuela better? When are we going to be able to see the country that we grew up with? You know, maybe in a few years, but hopefully we can start sooner than later. And I'm very proud that we still have an academy in Venezuela. We're working with youth. My brother is very involved in there. We created a new league with my father's name, a youth league for kids from 12 to 19 to be able to participate. So we're still very active in trying to help in the soccer side. But definitely, you know, it's sad day by day, still looking at our country being this way.
Well, in 2020, we'll be hoping for the best for your country, for everyone in Venezuela. Gio Savarese, thank you so much for joining the show.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure. Great to talk to you, and all the best.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football Podcast. I'd like to thank Gio Savarese, as well as producer Scott Brody, and everyone at Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Remember, if you like the podcast, it would really help us if you go to Apple Podcasts and provide a rating and a review. And we'd appreciate you recommending the podcast to someone you know. See you next time.